Welcome to Rooster Radio, a broadcast dedicated to supporting and promoting local artists in the Gaston County and surrounding areas.
Finally sat down a few weeks back, and I spent like an entire Saturday afternoon in my office just going back through my calendar and adding every band that's ever played here to a playlist for their genre. So now I have genre playlists that we're using on the PA now. Nice. For in-between bands and before and after shows and stuff. And it's kind of cool because, like, you know, my goal is to get the streams up for everybody. And I just
now you just got to update it as they release new stuff.
I do. So I'm following everybody. So every day when I open it, if there's a new release, it pops up on the home screen.
Release radar.
Yeah, release radar. And I just, before I even listen to it, I'll go add it and then I'll go listen to it.
But, I don't know how many times I've walked in here to disease plan.
I wish there was I wish there was a better way to like share the playlist, because like when I made them, I made this post about like here's you know what's happening in your local scene, here's the different playlists, and it's just like a link to the playlist.
Screenshot it, put your link in the comments.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like
redirects are getting buried.
Yeah.
Yeah,
in the algorithm, if you're redirecting off of Facebook or Instagram, they get buried in the algorithm.
Have you ever noticed on your on a laptop or desktop when you click a link from Facebook, when it opens the link, it's got this long URL that's still connected to Facebook? So one of the things I started doing a couple months back, whenever I book shows and I put the description on my ticketing site, and it's the same description I put on the website. Well, what I've started doing is I'll put the description with the ticket and the door information, and then underneath that, I list every band and I link to their link tree. If they don't have a link tree, I link to their website. If they don't have that, sometimes it's just an Instagram link, whatever. But whatever, you know, you go to go to that, I have to like redo the URL. I have to like refresh the site to get like the actual link without the Facebook connection, which, you know.
But
whatever.
Even now, it's getting hard to put YouTube and Spotify links on Facebook and any social media. It just won't show it. It'll say page.
It's really annoying that Instagram doesn't let you put links in like that. That's really, really annoying. Because, I mean, ultimately, my goal is to spread the word. You know, my goal is to like, get people to check these, like, get these websites hits, get these streams up for bands. And, like, you know, if you guys release a new song, the only way I have to share it is to put this link.
And that's why we do it in the comma.
Yeah, and on Instagram, the only way you can do it is if you do it in stories. Mm-hmm. That's it.
And in bios.
And it's character limited, so they're super long URLs that you're talking about. You got to go to tinyurl or bit.ly or something else to shorten it.
Yep.
And then those expire, so if you're running an ad, right? So say you run an ad.
You're good.
Say you run an ad for 30 days. Then you're looking at that link expires after 21 days if you're not on a paid premium plan. It's gotten crazy.
Yeah, what I've been thinking about doing is putting when you go to our website on the homepage, there's a Spotify like embedded widget that links to the podcast. And I was thinking about putting another widget up to like link to a playlist or two or something like
that.
I don't know.
The algorithms and everything change so much.
It's like
the
weekly anymore.
Yeah. I mean, Wednesdays used to be a dead day, and now they're a premium day. Like, it jumps around so much.
See, I don't know if I'm right or not, but I've got, like, a process early in the week. On Monday, I do the, This Week at the Rooster, where I've got, like, a template that I plug in what we're doing that week, and then I tag all the bands and list what we're doing and share that on both socials. And then on Tuesday, I do basically the same thing, but I do it with all of the flyers. Instead of just the one thing, it's, you know, here's the five flyers for
Tuesday's
this week.
Tuesday's been a very good day for algorithm artists.
I kind of try to get the word out early in the week. And then Ariel, she does the reels and the stories and stuff. And It seems to be working. I mean, I really don't have a concrete way of knowing if any of this is working.
So if you look at your professional, like...
That big confusing dashboard that you have to have a computer science degree to understand.
But it'll tell you what your views are, how much you've grown as in followings, 28 days, 60 days.
Well, what I mean
is
I don't know if any of that's translating into tickets being bought. Right. Yeah. Like that's the part that I don't really have a good answer for. We're starting to see a more steady, you know, like last night we had Blackwater Drowning.
Yeah.
Love those guys, right?
Yeah.
You know, the pre-sales were garbage. Like I saw the pre-sales, I was like, fuck. Like this sucks. But then we ended up with a room full of people.
Mm-hmm.
So like I don't know what motivates people to buy tickets.
A lot of people are waiting until the last minute.
Yeah.
And or buying at the door because honestly, the COVID thing, when everybody was waiting for refunds for all these shows they had bought tickets for, like people just stopped buying those advance tickets.
Killikoi, though, they're dealing with it right now too. You know, they've got their big show coming up for their one show a year they do, and they're like, I don't know what's going to happen. Their pre-sales are in the toilet.
Yeah, I mean, and it's like that across the board. Yeah. Like even you know, even with the bigger like the festivals, you know, we're not seeing a lot of pre-sales, but then we're seeing a lot of people come to the show. So. Yeah. You know, if that's the way it is, it's the way it is. It's just like another layer of stress for you know
for me as a venue owner.
You know, it's like it's nice to know in advance that you're going to have a big crowd. You know, if nothing else, just to plan better with staffing and stuff.
Yep.
You know, there's nights where you know Ariel will come in and it's like she'll be like, "Do I need to be here?"
Right. Yeah, it's like because you know you don't want to talk to. I mean, not that I don't want to talk to a crowd, but it's you don't get as much interaction back from a teeny crowd
right.
as you would a bigger one. So it's kind of like, what's the point? The bands can introduce themselves at this.
Yeah. And then there's nights where I'll have a lineup and I just know I need to have Mama back there in the green room. just by knowing who these bands are.
She has new sayings to use back there now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Fuck yourself.
No. Cat waffle.
Oh, God.
I made cat waffle. This is my favorite. I made a whole bunch of stuff that said that, too, just because it was funny.
Now, I was having this conversation with I went and spoke with the head of the radio station at the college here, and I'm trying to find a creative way to work with the college radio station because – you know,
it gives them experience, and it gives you content.
Well, yeah. So, like, the students there, like, you know, our producer, we've talked about before, you know, he started here as an intern. He needed his hours. Now he's an employee there, and he produces the show. Yes.
Sorry, I just realized that somebody who used to work there just got his radio job back there at Gustin College.
Yeah.
Jason? Yeah.
So... it makes sense to work with that program because we can both benefit.
And it can pull some attention from the college crowd.
Right. But they're, because it's a school, it's like a non-profit, like it's a weird category that they're in, and the FCC rules dictate that they can't promote our events. We're a for-profit business. I can purchase an ad that they can run, and even that, there's limited language that can be used. So it's like they have this reach of, you know, tens of thousands of people that listen. And I'll grant you this, that's not our demographic. You know, it's an older crowd that listens. But it's still a tool in the toolbox, right? But we were talking about staffing because they're a publicly funded school. Yeah, they're limited. They're limited resources. And then when you do find people, it's hard to find people that want to work. You know, that was part of our conversation was like the younger students that are in the program now, like they're just showing up just expecting things to happen. And, you know, so we were having this conversation about how, you know, I have been with staffing. The first 6 months I was open, I was basically doing everything because I never advertised. I think I advertised one time that, hey, I'm looking for bartenders. I posted that on Facebook one time right before we opened. But I don't advertise jobs because nothing here is really a full-time job. Like, you know, the nature of what we do is so different. I've been very patient allowing, you know, the people to come to me. And, you know, Ariel early on, you know, took up the market stuff and then just gradually just started taking more responsibility for it. And she literally just took it, just decided that she's going to start doing this. And now she's, you know, Ariel, Justin, and me run this place. Mm-hmm. And I don't have to put it all on my back anymore. And it just happened organically and naturally. And that's my philosophy. Now, if I owned a restaurant, I wouldn't have that luxury. Like I realize that I'm fortunate in that this type of business lends itself to that type of philosophy. So,
because you need people in this industry that love the music, love what they're doing.
Passionate.
Otherwise, the people that come here aren't going to have a good time.
Yeah.
Because it's a whole vibe.
You can feel the vibe for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Welcome to the show.
Get out. Sorry, I was taking my text. I'll make sure he got home okay. Yeah.
So we're talking to Missy and Travis. If you don't know who they are by now, Missy is the head of creative music management. Travis is the lead singer of Scars Remain. Thank you both for being on the show. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. We've got Rooster Olympics coming up, so we'll just kick things off there, and we'll talk about Rooster Olympics. It's going to be Saturday, May 25th. I pulled it back a month. Last year we did it in June. It was really fucking hot.
That sucks.
So we're going to do it in May.
Won't
be as hot. Not
I'm as still hot. Sunburned.
Yeah.
We got a roof this time. You're good.
Yeah, okay.
And Missy has put together an incredible lineup. Let's start with the lineup. Let's start with the music, since that's what
I actually have the set times.
Oh, no.
All right.
Okay.
So I'll hand it over to you to kind of go over that, and then if we can get a graphic, maybe we can get Ron to put one up on the screen. So how's the day going to go for music?
Doors are at 12. We're going to do the national anthem at 1:25. At 1:30, we're going to have Low inside starting the day. And then we're going to head outside with Devil May Die. They're out of Virginia.
Virginia Beach, I believe.
Yes. Then we're going to head back inside for Sleepless Denver. Followed by Nova Omega, Head Trip Trauma, 50 Flies, Echoes of Humanity, Neighborhood Alien, Sunbreak, To Begin Anew, Shallow Signals. And then we're going to take a little break and do some drawings, because we are having a raffle for a Jackson guitar and some other signed merch from the bands. Then we're going to have Dove Cage outside, Lords and Liars on the inside stage, and then we're going to finish it off with Scars Remain.
So that means you got to pace yourself all day.
Or I just prep myself.
Oh, is that what we're calling it?
No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Yeah.
What a lineup. And what I love about what you did with this lineup is this is truly regional. Mm-hmm. Like, we've got everything from Virginia to Georgia.
Yep.
And, you know, Sunbreak coming out of Georgia, they were here back in January.
They blew me away.
Yeah, they were
amazing.
Surprise. Like, yes. I knew they were good. I listened to their music. Wasn't ready for that live performance. It was
and I
awesome.
Know they also got put on that throwdown in the campgrounds in Georgia. They got added with
week.
What? Nonpoint, Drowning Pool.
Good for them.
So.
Good for them, yeah. And then Lords and Liars is, my God.
They're unique. They are.
Unique's a great word. Like they were here, when was that show?
Christmas.
Christmas show, yeah. And, you know, they show up, the dude, like, very unassuming looking people, you know, like, I didn't even know he was in the band. He just kept coming up to get natural lights and, and, you know, talk to him for a minute. And the next thing I know, he's on stage and he just erupts into this eruption of entertainment.
And
it's like, what is happening right now? You can hear a little bit of Primus influence and Tool influence. They've got the big cello. Amazing band. Like
they are. I've had them on a few of my shows, and I love them as humans. They are just amazing people. And, like, for the Christmas show, I got offered them gas money because they came from Raleigh.
Yeah.
And they were like, nope, all the money goes to the charity. Do not ever pay us. Like, we are doing this because we love working with you guys. They are just amazing people all together.
Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked a little bit before about how great it is to, like, doing what we do. Like, we do get some of the most generous, most loving, kind people to work with. You know, you get your occasional assholes, but they kind of weed themselves out. You know, they don't last very long. Sleepless Denver was just here for the Makes My Blood Dance show. They were kind of like punk poppy.
Yeah. So when we were choosing the bands, we wanted a diverse lineup. We wanted more genres brought in, because Dove Cage, being one of mine, they're not in that metal scene. And they were like, we need something to flow with us, too. So they brought Shallow Signals and Sleepless Denver to my attention and were like, hey.
Right on. And Dovecades has just been putting out new song after new song lately. Like, you know, they've released, what, a new single yesterday for the last 3 months?
Yeah. I think, 9 more to go.
Yeah.
We just don't make albums anymore.
Well, if you look at the Nationals, they're putting out single after single after single and then dropping an album.
Yeah.
And it seems to be working for them.
It's the way people consume media these days.
They want instant gratification. Yeah.
And they're good. The songs are great, you know. Yeah, they're killing it. They're killing it with the new guitar player and everything, which we'll get to see for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know? Travis, what's going on with Scars?
We've been quiet a little bit, but not. We're still making noise, if that makes sense.
Well, I know you've been busy. Me and Missy were talking before the show. You've been busy working with Killikoi, producing music with them.
Yeah, shout out Pangea Creative Group. I call them the Killer Boys, even though they have a girl in the band. we've really been just kind of diving into the studio, working on our live show, kind of rebuilding some things. We burnt ourselves out, I think, to end last year. I think last year was one of the heaviest show years that we've done. And then, you know, that show that shall not be named. No, we won't give them any shout-outs, but it kind of set us back a little bit, so we kind of had to refocus and, kind of put our efforts into the right places. But, we've got some stuff coming. I think we're kind of doing a little bit of a genre shift, to be honest, kind of getting away from the screamy, in-your-face metal style and kind of gearing things back a little bit, and I'm intrigued.
Like more traditional hard rock?
Yeah, a little bit more on the it's still metalcore-y, but with some pop vibes kind of thrown in there.
Okay.
I'm intrigued to see how people respond. And, for me, it's a great break because I'm not screaming my face off the whole time.
Yeah.
It's we're excited.
We had to replace Disease.
We're not playing Disease.
I know.
No.
We are done with that.
Yeah, but it's exciting, man. And, internally, we've just been kind of focused on, how we can get better. And, shout out to our drummer, Jim. He's also got his other side project that's kind of kicking ass, too. So, we're all just expanding and exploring and seeing what we can, kind of put into works. Because, we're trying to be different, but not different enough that we're not
evolving,
gonna be the same.
You think it might be a better word there? You're evolving a little bit as a band.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Showing diversity.
Yeah.
And what Travis's voice is capable of, what the band members are capable of, because we went rock, then metalcore, and we're kind of pulling it back a little bit again because it's good to have that change, especially for him on stage.
Yeah.
Like, I've noticed when you're screaming hustily, you're just wore out.
Yeah.
And
it's also getting old.
It is.
I've been doing this for 18 years. It starts to wear on you a little bit. we're down to one guitar player. We're not really looking to add. It's hard enough to put four guys in a room that get along. adding a fifth, we're just, evolving. I think it's the perfect word to use for that. And you're just kind of showing some different stuff. We've always said that we don't want to put ourselves in a box when it comes to writing music, right? And then we found ourselves in a box.
Yeah.
Right? And then trying to break out.
I've been in your band room. It is a box.
It is a box.
No, that's now 50.
So
that's now 50 Flies band room.
Okay. I thought so when I saw that video. And I was like, wait a minute. That's where Scars was.
Yeah.
It just got to a point. We were spending so much money in there that it just didn't make sense for us to keep the place because we're only in there maybe a night a week, right? And we were just spending so much money on that place. And, 50 Flies is at a point where they're doing the same thing. They're evolving, right? Wait till you hear some of these new songs that are going to be coming from them. Kevin's voice is incredible, and he really gets an opportunity to shine with a lot of the stuff that they're doing right now. So, when the opportunity came up, they were looking for a place. We were looking for a way out, and so we just kind of teed it up because normally that place has a ridiculous wait list to get in there.
Yeah.
So we kind of teed it up and passed it off to them, and they're making the best use of it possible.
Nice. And you can see all of this new music here at Rooster Olympics on Saturday, May 25th, all day. Doors will be open at noon. You can get tickets on our website right now. And please do, because what we're doing is we're raising money for Webb Street School. I guess we probably should have led with that. So bad at promoting. Webb Street School, you know, it's a school that, caters to individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. It's the only school like it anywhere near here. And they always need help because these kids have more needs than, typical students do. And we raised a lot of money for them last year, and we're trying to beat it this year. We're going to have games. D's Balls, ball making company. They make.
I swear, the last episode, everybody's giggled as soon as you say it.
It's hard to say it without.
Like, how do you do that with a straight
when
face?
When I sent it's the all... logo to Kevin to put on the flyer, he was like, "Is this real?" Like, yes.
Shout out to Jimmy Paskey. He's a drummer. He's a regular here at our open mics, and he's got this company that makes. You know, ping pong balls and golf balls and stuff. Well, yeah. And the reason they call it D's Balls is to raise awareness for testicular cancer. That's kind of the passion behind the project. Any profit they make kind of goes to...
One of their employees or associates or whatever is an icon. Yeah. And the other day a post came through and they were like, it's so cool to see Icon and D's Balls on the same lineup. And I was like, hi, I'm the promoter. Yeah.
So it's really cool. They're going to come in and they're going to actually run the game portion. So last year, I'll admit, I did a terrible job of running the actual games, mainly because I was trying to get people to sign up in advance, and I had so much to do. Jimmy has graciously stepped in to take this over. So they'll be running the beer pong, the cornhole, the pencil fighting. And instead of trying to get people to sign up early, we're just going to have a booth set up. And you just, the day of, if you want to play in the games, you go sign up. And the games will start around 3 or 4 o'clock. We haven't really set a time yet. We want to see how many people show up early. And then they're going to run the games. And then everyone that participates will get to participate, or everyone that participates in the games will be in a tournament of rock, paper, scissors. And we will do the final four of that on stage, you know, probably right after the raffles. We don't want to interrupt too much of the music, so...
Shout out to Andy finishing second place. That is a reminder.
Shout out to Sarah and Brian, my friends.
That was so much fun to watch.
Yeah, I got
Ella said she's coming back for the trophy again.
Oh, she's coming to get it? All
yeah, right. But Spoon
well, she has
said
to come
he's taking it.
Yeah, she has to come defend her title.
Right?
Yeah. Well, Spoon said he's taking it. So.
if Spoon and Frank are on the cornhole boards,
no,
it's
all... Spoon and Rob.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, at least there's a chance.
Spoon was like, Rob, you're mine this time.
Yeah, so, and it's all, you know, to raise money and raise awareness for Webb Street School. And last year I charged $10 to participate. This year I'm not requiring anyone to pay to play games.
Donation.
Anyone can play, but if you want to donate some money to the school, that'd be really cool of you.
Yep.
Just saying. $5, $10, $100, I don't care. Just let's help these guys out.
Absolutely.
This is a perfect opportunity to talk about creative chaos. There will be food trucks. You know, we'll have a vendor market, and we'll get to that in a minute. Aaron will talk a little bit about the vendors. But before we do that, talk a little bit about creative chaos, because we were talking before the show, and the merch business is booming right now.
Yeah, I also own a small merch business. My main goal with that was to be able to help local bands without having them big minimum orders. Of you have to order 50 of these to get it at this price. We've come up with some 12 by 12 aluminum signs with a lot of the band's logos that have offered to do this. And they're going to be autographed at the show, and we're going to do a Chinese auction style. And you'll be able to put tickets in what you want to win, buy the tickets right there at the booth. I know Scars is participating. To Begin Anew is participating, 50 Flies. And we'll have other samples of our merch there as well. We do tumblers. We do all sorts of laser engraving. We had a lot of bands lately that sell out on the first night they have that new merch.
Yeah.
So it's definitely good for the bands. And it's another way that we help support those bands because we try to keep our prices.
Yeah, I mean,
minimum.
most nights here, bands are making more off merch than we're making off the door.
Yeah.
So, and that's why merch is important. If you're a band that wants to get some merch done, reach out to Missy and Creative Chaos because they can hook you up. They can hook you up. And
we have a network of printers and, you know, flyer makers, yeah, designers, we all work together to create the best for our scene. Because honestly, if you're walking around, I know somebody called me one day and they were like, I walked into a show, the first shirt I saw was a Scars Remain shirt. The second one was a 50 Fly shirt. And yeah, I was like, yep.
Well, and I can say from our perspective, from Scars, before we had the blessing of Missy coming into our lives, we were a fledgling business. Let's call it that. More merch was given away than sold. Let's just put it that way. And, you know, she's honestly made us profitable to the point where now Scars is completely self-sufficient. And it's cool to see.
It's been, what, 6 years?
Yeah, 6 years. Yeah. Turn this thing into a legitimate business.
I started with Scars. You know, I started just as their merch girl, and I started networking around.
Yeah, we're attached to the hip forever.
Yeah,
I think
we're related.
We will be raffling off some of the Creative Chaos merch in addition to a Jackson guitar and some other donated items. And like she said, the Chinese auction, like silent auction kind of deal, where instead of just buying a ticket and then getting what you get, you can buy a ticket for the specific item, and then we will have people going around selling tickets for the guitar as well.
Oh, yes.
So there's a higher chance of winning this way as well.
And with the guitar, you can have the band sign it. You can...
Sorry, I started having it. I was like, that means Ricky's just going to win it all.
Yeah, Ricky does have
to
a rabbit.
To be fair, she's only won one guitar. Nice.
Yes, but she always wins something.
She always wins something.
She absolutely does. But she also buys the tickets in advance.
Yes, she does.
Because we do offer for our larger items to, you know, buy those raffle tickets. And she'll buy a few every time she gets paid to support the cause.
Yeah.
And, you know, she gets a reward out of it.
Yes, she does. Boy, does she.
She's definitely got a positive ROI.
Like he said, a rabbit's foot. She's got a rabbit's foot somewhere.
Well, she deserves it, too. She's one of the most supportive of the Rooster.
Yeah. Oh, she's a constant supporter of CMM.
The Rooster Virtual Street Team page is, Ricky is the reason I created it. Because Ricky just was constantly sharing stuff all the time. I'm like, we need something like this.
Yeah. She's a constant supporter of all the bands on CMM roster, you know.
Yeah, she's exactly who we built this place for.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Now, Errol, you want to talk a little bit about Misfit Market? I know there's still a few spots open, but you want to talk a little bit about the vendors we do have?
We have, and what I love is, like, we come straight off of the merch and your small business. And we have other small businesses in the Misfit Market.
That Industrial Mayhem is giving us a thing to raffle off as well. I spoke with them at Headbangers Ball.
I love Aaron. He's
and the Aaron walked up to me. He was like, what can I do to help? Like, can I do this? And I networked with a lot of the vendors last weekend.
Well, a lot of the vendors, they make band merch too. Like for the show this evening. One of the vendors makes merch for them.
Yeah.
And it's just, I love seeing bands use small businesses. So it's like small business and small business and going hand in hand. But we will have lots of vendors. I have secured the face painters again for this year.
Nice.
Because there was such a big request, and I love seeing the guitarist from Dove Cage get on stage with his face painting
logo
and
all
it
over
sweat
space.
Off at the same time. But we will have, oh my gosh, let me look at my list.
Hobby Life.
Yeah, we got some 3D printers. We've got people who make shirts and stickers.
Soaps.
Yes, we'll have two people named Bunny out here this time. soaps. We have one of the newest favorites, and I hate to say favorites, but she's a tattoo artist locally, and she engraves onto mirrors with an engraving gun.
Whoa.
Dude, that's dope.
Yes, and her stuff is phenomenal. But
it's a great opportunity to get something custom made.
Yes,
a great gift.
Definitely. Yeah. But yeah, unique. we'll have lots of different ones. We'll have Lovey Bunch's candles. She was out here last year for that, and her candles are great. And then we've got a couple 3D printers, some soaps, and some new people that I've seen their pictures of their stuff, but I haven't seen, like, I haven't met them in person. So we have one person I added yesterday, and I think she, but she makes like little polymer clay cryptids and stuff, and so I'm excited to see those. And I'm just, oh gosh, and we got a few spaces open, so who knows what else we could have.
Yeah, Yeah, lots of cool stuff at the vendor market. And then, of course, food trucks on site as well. We'll have Crave USA, which makes great burgers and hot dogs. We'll have Boba Tea. What's Poppin' Boba Tea?
I'm so excited to have Blue Ocean Delights back.
Those guys are killing it.
Right?
Blue Ocean Delights, they're the ones, they do like shrimp tacos and ceviche. Phenomenal.
And if it gets so hot out there, trust me, ceviche is the way to go.
Dude, some ceviche and a michelada? Now you're speaking my language. Man.
Because you get full, but you don't feel that weight, and you don't get like, ugh, what'd I eat?
Yeah, that's the thing I've started, like with food trucks, I try to get food trucks in that aren't so, like, just straight fried food.
Yes,
It weighs you down. It makes the day, I mean, kind of.
It makes you feel nasty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially in that heat.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, you
want to
just take a nap.
But you eat that ceviche and you're like, oh, great. I feel great.
You'll find Travis in the green room passed out on the couch, like, chilling.
I can't tell you the last time I was able to take a nap. Thank you, children.
You still got a few more years of that, too.
Yeah, well, so, I'm prepared.
there's no excuse not to come. You know, it's Saturday, May 25th. It's an all-day fest. And it's for a great cause. And, you know, you're going to be supporting lots of local businesses. And drink beer.
Yeah.
The bar will be open. Support us, too.
We are running a contest on the CMM page where you go around to where we've put posters out at the local record stores, take a selfie with it, tag the Rooster, and tag Creative Music Management to be entered into a contest to win tickets, swag from the Rooster, CMM, entry into the drawing for the guitar.
I'm actually about to put one of those flyers tomorrow at the Misfit Market booth that we have at the Hippity Hop Shop.
Yeah, so if you see a Rooster Olympics flyer around town, take a selfie with it, post it, tag Creative Music Management, and you could possibly win some stuff.
And we haven't really talked about this, but as of today, we're going to be offering a private acoustic performance, the venue of your choosing, to the raffles for that purpose.
That means you can have it in your house, or you can have it here.
House party or whatever you want to do.
But a private acoustic performance by Scars Remain, that's, man.
And I will tell you acoustically, I love them. I love it.
Who doesn't love a good unplugged show?
Well, the first time you guys did it was, with Demon Jones?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Ron just made a great point. That really was the best thing MTV ever did, was that Unplugged series.
Yeah, at my birthday party, you guys did one, and everybody was like, wow, we didn't.
Because if a band can't pull off an acoustic set, are they really that talented?
You're not hiding behind tracks. You know?
Tracks or distortion.
Tracks, distortion.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's always good because it's a fun way to kind of get in. Yeah, I mean, it's intimate, right? I mean, you kind of strip it back and you kind of really feel the music. And I like taking other people's songs that aren't necessarily intended to be acoustic and really just taking them and making something special out of them. It's just fun. It's just fun.
Me against myself?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and like you said, the intimacy part of that, like, that's one of the things I love most about what we do is, like, dealing with these, you know, the locals, the local legends, and having this scene and having that intimate, like, this community, like, all of the goals I set out to achieve, that's what we're doing. And then, look, we're creating more opportunity for those types of things. You know, if I wasn't a venue owner, I'd try to win that. Yeah, I'd have you guys at my next barbecue.
You could still enter the raffle. Yeah.
But no, the thing is it looks rigged if we win it.
Touche.
Yeah. I don't want that. I don't want that at all out there. I got enough people out there trying to poo-poo what we do.
That is one of the great things about the smaller venues is after the bands get off the stage, the fans can go up and interact.
Yep.
The amount of people that walk up to me and go, oh, my God, like, they're such great humans all together. Yes.
That's one of my favorite parts of the night. So, I mean, aside from the actual music, that after the show when everyone's crowded over here by the merch table taking pictures and signing stuff, and, you know, how good does that feel as a local musician to be asked to sign something?
It's a little overwhelming, I will say. And honestly, it kind of catches you off guard. I think I remember the first couple times that ever happened, and I was like, really? Me?
One of the first times I ever came and got you, and was like, somebody wants you guys to sign the set list. And he's like,
What?
And I was like, yeah, even the bass player.
No, but it is. Shout out bass player. Yeah. But it is cool though. I mean, especially when your music touches people, right? We've talked about this privately. Music is a universal language, right? Mm-hmm. And to know that your music is connecting with people to that level, I don't know, it's humbling. I know it seems the opposite of what it would be, but it is humbling to know that that has impacted somebody's life. There was a show that we did, it was last year, we did, it's now being referred to as the Red Dirt Revival. You weren't there for that one, but this guy drove all the way down from Virginia to come to the show in the middle of nowhere at a dirt park, mud park, right?
I was there.
Oh, you were there. Yeah, sorry. The second. Well, the first day you weren't, right?
No.
Yeah, so... So he pulls me to the side afterwards, and he was like, I just want you to know that one of your songs had saved my life. And, you know, we were talking about what I've become. And a lot of people don't know this about that song particularly, is that that song is based off of a suicide note that one of our friends left behind.
Okay.
And, you know, to put that into words and to have somebody say that it turned them, that it helped them turn their life around. And to know that that person is still here because of a song that you wrote, that's powerful.
Shout out to Josh Denton.
Right, shout out Josh Denton too, yeah.
At least twice a week I'm seeing posts, you know, he's sharing something of Scars and just how that is his everyday reminder that, you know, that's family.
Yeah.
And it gets him through some hard times.
And as a musician, to know that, I wouldn't call it power, but to have that influence and impact on somebody's life, it's special. I don't know.
It's something that you can't really take, like, you can't take that for granted.
Right.
To know that, because I'm sure you got into this just because you're an artist. I got into it
because it was my outlet, right?
Yeah.
It was a way for me to take the pain and the stuff and the weight that I had carried and put it into words. It was an outlet for me, and I never knew that, it sounds...
The thing that saved you could actually save somebody else. Yeah. It's like this circular kind of full circle kind of thing.
You were told you couldn't do it.
Yeah, yeah. I had brain surgery in 2016. I was told I was never going to be able to step on stage again.
What? Yeah. I know this about you. What happened?
I have it's a birth defect called Chiari malformation. Basically, and I know I have a big ass head, but my brain is, you can't find hats big enough for my head. This is an extra large and it's tight. But the shout out creative chaos merch.
You got to go with the hankies, man. You got to start wearing bandanas.
Oh, now he's got the bucket hats.
No, but my doctor. So basically, my brain is too big for my head, so it started to push down and put pressure on the cerebral spinal fluid. I was not getting the anyway. Long story short. They have to go in. I'm missing about a 2-inch patch of my skull in the back. He told me, he said, you're never going to be able to do that. The pressure you create in your head is going to continue to cause you problems. And I was basically like, I refuse to accept that, you know. And funny enough, it was 6 months after surgery. I was back on stage after being told that I'd never be able to do it again. And here we are.
Scars remain. 9 years
later.
Yep.
Yeah, I never knew that about you, man. That's incredible.
Yeah. Hey, look, man.
It's painful too.
It is. It sucks sometimes, especially on storm days. Tomorrow's gonna be rough, but anybody that's watching, I think it segues perfectly to what we're here for to talk about with Web Street School, right? You know, there's a lot of kids that are out there right now that are dealing with some type of disability or told that they're never going to be able to do something. And, you know, ultimately, your attitude and your attention to what you want to do, there's no reason you can't.
Yeah.
And I think it's a powerful statement if you can go and beat the odds, right? And, you know, for people that have been told, you know, that you can't do something and, you know, to go out and be able to physically do it and to prove those doubters or those doctors even wrong is... it's special. And, you know, to anybody watching, that anything you might maybe dealing with right now, just remember it's okay to not be okay. In, you know, going through that and myself at times, it's a powerful thing to pull yourself out on the other side. Growth is hard. Growth is painful. And, you know, when you're going through these situations, just remember you're not alone.
You can always reach out to anyone in Scars.
It's like looking in the mirror, listening to him say these things. That's exactly how I feel about this place, and the message that I want to get out to the people is, you know how many people told me this was a bad idea? And, you know, even if this shit went away tomorrow, you know the impact that we've had on people's lives in just a year and a half of being here?
Oh, I've been through it with my dad. He never understood.
I'm sorry. I didn't even tell you this last night, but I went in the bathroom, and when I came back to refill the toilet paper, I heard this little girl talking to her mom in the bathroom. She goes, "Mom, do you think I could be a singer like that one day?" And I was like, God, I wish Michael was in here right now. I just wanted you to be able to hear that because... Yeah. Just hearing her say that, just having an honest conversation with her mom. Yes, if your mom's watching, show her this. You can be whatever that singer on that stage.
And we love the kids coming to the show. Like, that's the highlight of it for us. Everybody knows my kids come to 90% of the shows that we do.
My kids are here if they can be. If we're local, they're here.
And that's one of my favorite things is to see the kids out there dancing. I mean, it happens very often here.
Yeah.
You know, and I've heard a couple, and it's usually older people that say these kind of things, but I've had a couple people kind of shit on us because we are all ages.
Like, I did see a post.
Yeah, I don't want to go drinking with kids, and it's like, well, don't come here. Yes, we want you to spend money at the bar, but you don't come here to get shit-faced. No. You come here to be a part of something, to see a show. You know, if you get shit-faced, we'll get you home, but, you know...
The amount of people that walk up to me and they're like, your kids are just sitting over there, like, happy as can be, and I'm like, they're used to it.
We're trying to inspire a new generation of artists, you know, and you know, if that's how you feel, then go to the pool hall, you know?
I never understand why people will shit on a business just because it doesn't suit what they're looking for. There's other places for you to go drink.
Yeah. Yeah, look, you don't have to come here. And believe me, a lot of people don't.
I mean, at our shows, we try to have stuff for the kids. We have the inflatable instruments. We have, you know, little goodie bags for them every time.
Those kid pits are my favorite thing to watch.
Yes.
I love
the kid pits, even at the festivals.
Yeah.
Like, we try to pull the kids in and teach them the right way, because that's the next generation of this industry.
That's one of my favorite. Like, I think it was Brewstock, seeing Andy in the middle of the pit. They've created a smaller pit to teach a little boy how to pit to be in the mosh pit, and it was the most precious thing ever.
It's so pure.
It was so adorable.
It was so adorable.
And shout out to Icon. You know, Icon. The amount of family that they instill into, you know, into that organization. And I talked to Spoon about this yesterday. What they built special. Like, you don't find, you're not going to find a bad apple in that bunch. No. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
No. And it's just incredible.
The amount of love, support, and just overall family, like,
and the energy, like, when these kids get to jumping and they just don't stop. I mean, I get tired watching them.
And it's like, but I mean, their pits are like Ring Around the Rosie, but it's still, I like when I see the kid pits warm. I'm like, hey, there's a kid pit here. I'm like, don't make me come off the stage.
Yeah, we have our kid pits, our girl pits, our regular pits. We incorporate everybody.
We had a Macarena pit at last year's Brewstock.
Actually, at the Wage War show the other night, me and Tim were doing the Macarena in the crowd.
He was probably the instigator of the one at Brewstock. So.
I know at Louder Than Life last year, there was this little kid, and he kept looking into the pit, like,
what is this?
What are they doing? And the mom was standing there, and I walked over, and I was like, can I, like, take him in and show him? And she was like, are you sure he's going to be okay? I was like, oh, yeah.
I promise you.
So me and Andy Davis got in there with him and just, like, showed him how to do it. And then other people jumped in and got down so that the kid, that's what we're teaching the next generation. And if they fall, we pick them up.
I got a few nieces and nephews I would have never had. So, you know, I'm Uncle Travis to so many kids, which is cool. I love it.
Yeah, and we say all this, you know, we share all this with you to let you know, hey, like, it's okay, bring the kids, like, be a part of this community, whatever's going on. I mean, we've covered a lot of ground today.
We have kids from 2 years old all the way up.
Yeah. And, you know, and if you don't have kids and you're sitting at home and you're lonely, get out, come to a show, be a part of the community. Like, I'm never going to stop saying this message that get involved. You know, you might not think it's your thing, but what if it is, you know?
And if you don't experience it, you will never get it.
Because working at Walmart sucks. You know, working for the man sucks, man. Get out and have some fucking fun.
I did. I had one of my vendors tell me, they were like, I'm totally, they did Rooster Olympics last year. It was Gifted. And I was talking to Bunny, and she was like, that sense of family and that mm-hmm. love that was at Rooster Olympics. She's like,
and it's just a vibe you go off of right. for days afterwards.
Exactly. Like, she's like, it was like that the whole day. Like nobody, like people were tired, but it was like nobody became jerks when they got tired.
Yeah. We've made that statement an icon. Even the kids all get along. Like right. how often do you see a group of mismatched kids all
yeah,
get along?
Yeah, there's no like playground bullies no. or nothing like no. that. Everyone's just here to have a good time.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it makes me think about how much my life's changed since I opened this place. Like, I get to carry those highs in, like, typically we don't do shows on Monday and Tuesday. It's kind of like our days off or whatever. Yeah. And I spend those days recharging because I've just dumped so much of my emotional self yes. into what we do. It's almost like Monday, I don't even answer the phone half the time. I'm just yeah. like, let me.
But those bigger shows, it gives you that energy and yeah. that enthusiasm to keep going.
When you're still talking about it 2-3 days a week later, it was a good show.
Yeah.
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 And so, especially when you...
Shout out Pickrew, Danny Mazzio just hit me up about a project that we...
I already know.
Okay, cool.
Thanks. He felt us talking about it.
Yeah, your ears ringing though.
Ears was burning.
Yeah, Danny's going to be here doing photography. Yeah, we have OMG love coming Danny. From Pennsylvania yeah. to do photography. Sean... what's the magazine
how did,
he works
for? Yeah, I want to find out the origin story here because OMG just all of a sudden started like, showing up on so, stuff. And then they were down here for the Bleeding Hearts Ball, and yeah. I got to meet them. And I just hugged him. I was like, thank you so much, man. Like,
they are amazing. Hollywood and Ginger are just phenomenal.
But, you know, they brought, like, electrolyte packets in the green room and, like, a whole bunch
banana
of other
bag.
Stuff. Yeah. yeah, in the green room and for the bands. And I was like...
So
that
that's actually how I met them.
Yeah.
Really?
At that thing that we're not going to talk about. Hollywood walked up to me and handed me one of the banana bag yeah. things, and I just about passed out from the heat yeah. 30 yeah. minutes before then. And, like, he just gave me a huge hug, but he was brought into the family by Danny. Mm-hmm. Danny used to work for another media outlet other than Icon, mm-hmm. and through his networking, he started working with OMG.
Yep.
And they just embraced the whole family thing. There's photos they posted yesterday or the day before, and they're candid shots of me and Danny in the crowd at Bleeding Hearts. And we caught them, like, we'd look over and yes, they'd have their camera right at us, and I'd be like, yep, yeah. we're playing this paparazzi game.
I do love that they also caught that one girl who, I can't remember what band it was, but she had pink in her hair, and she was just out there the whole set, just, they caught her hair, and
yep.
like, just the emotion and the energy in
oh, there's
shot.
More, because they took videos of Danny Mazzio jumping into Rob's arms.
So it sounds like they're really
Rob?
Good at capturing moments.
They are. And Danny's the same way. I don't yeah. know how many photos I have, just random photos of...
How dare you?
I know, right?
Why is your phone not on silent?
Because it's my boss.
Touche.
I got to go to work after this?
No.
Well, all right, let's wrap it up then. Anything else you want to promote while we're here? Clearly it's important.
That's okay, we're all waiting on you.
Put her on speakerphone. Put her on speakerphone. Let's do it. Let's just...
Rob.
There's Rob's cameo for today.
You'll call back, I'm sure.
Save this for bloopers.
Sorry, I do have a yeah. regular job too.
It's okay. I have a folder of bloopers of Michael when it's just.
Oh, really?
But no, when you start to like film something and it doesn't quite come out, it's like, fuck!
No, I work
That's hilarious.
For it. I'm
trying
to
push through.
Go to Raleigh yeah. tonight. So.
No, I will say it's an honor. To be able to work these events with you guys. And I'll tell you, man, what you've built here is special. I don't get to come out as much as I would love to be here. But what you've built here is special. The sense of community and family in this building, every time I have ever walked through those doors, has been nothing short of special. So, you know, shout out to you guys, you know, for building a place here that is so full of love.
Well, thank you for that. It started with just me, you know, just trying to put this energy out there, and it took a long time. But, you know, this what we've created there's no way that I would have been able to do this alone. So if it weren't for the Ariels and the Justins and the Melissas and the Timmys and everybody, you know, bringing in Melissa, I can't say enough about how much I love that I have Melissa running this bar. I can trust her. I mean, we had last night, you know, Jack Defrost came down. Yeah. He's got a kid. He's got to be, what, 6, 7 years old, maybe?
Yeah.
Little ginger kid. And he's, you know, he's hot. You know, he's a rough and tough
Lucas
little
is
kid.
The cutest ever.
And she just breaks that kid down every time. She lights up when he comes in, and he, you know, he's going to have a crush on her. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
He's going to have a crush on Melissa his whole life.
Well, that's what the Halloween show, he brought me and Melissa both little Aww. Pumpkins with candy in it. And we sat and talked. He and I talked about spider rings for like at least 5 minutes. So.
But you know, going back to what I said earlier, allowing the right people to kind of come to me, you know, I know I've done the right
and
thing.
And that's kind of the way our relationship started.
Yeah.
With, you know, I just came in one day and
yeah,
we sat here for two hours.
Yeah, you drove an hour to have a conversation. Yeah, just to have a conversation, and it's what, you know, with the catalyst for this beautiful relationship that we have, where we get to work together, we get to raise money we have two events a year where one thing that's close to your heart, one thing that's close to my heart, we're actually getting to make an impact in this community. It's just it's
and
such
that's
a
what
thing.
I love the most is being able to give back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, them are our favorite events is, you know, our Christmas show where we support the domestic violence shelter. That was my baby. Like, that's, and to look at it every year and how much it grows, it makes it worth all the stress behind the scenes.
Yeah. I mean, look, the stress of doing what we do is so much better than the stress of anything I did before.
Fair.
Absolutely.
You know, like you don't get to live your life without stress. There's going to be stress, right?
But it's not as stressful if you're doing something you love.
Yeah.
If,
right. And you're surrounded by the people.
When you put your heart and soul into something, man, it makes that stress a lot easier to deal with.
Surrounded by the people with the same passion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got a magnetic personality, Michael, so you attract good people.
Thank you for saying that. I don't always feel that way about me, but okay.
That lyric.
Oh, magnetic? Oh, sorry.
Yeah. But we're just trying to do something good, and you know, if people pay attention, that's what we're going for. You know, it's never going to be about me. It's going to be about community, and that's the message I guess we're giving here. Any other shows you want to shout out that you got coming up?
We have one with Witness Marks coming here, June 8th with Venus and Victus.
You have no idea how hard that show was to put together. I brought you in like halfway through. So Venus Invictus has got a new single. They've had to take some time off. There was a health scare for one of the members. It's been dealt with, and now they're getting back into the swing of things. And they've got a new single to release. And Josh reached out and was like, "Hey, I want to do like a release party for the single." I love Josh to death. I love that whole band to death. All four of those guys are amazing.
Yeah,
you know, Jim's the shit. He's a crazy good drummer.
And it's funny because Zach from Witness Marks actually tried out to be in Venus Invictus before
really?
Witness Marks became a thing.
Okay, I didn't
so
know that.
So they had known each other.
Yeah.
So
I've said this about Venus Invictus before. Like, individually, they're four of the most talented people in this area. I mean, watching Emily play bass is, like, it's hard to watch anything else going on stage when she's playing bass. She's so fucking good.
Right. You know? I've never paid that much attention to a bass player ever.
Yeah, but then you've got Josh over here just riffing away, and it's like, my God, how do they put all that together?
Yeah.
I mean, they're a progressive metal band.
Yeah.
So, obviously. and then we're trying to put the show together, and, like, everyone that kind of fits on bills with them already had shows within a couple of months, so it was like, well, we need to put a lineup together, but how do we find the right bands to put on the show? And I had to reach out to Missy to get involved to help put it together, and we've got a killer lineup.
We
ended up with a killer show.
Absolutely.
And that's on Saturday, June 8th.
Yep. Also, Dub Cage has a show coming up at Amos's with Killikoy, Forever May Fall, and American Theory.
American Theory is a badass fucking band.
They are.
They're kicking ass right now.
They really
are. We played
are.
A show with them. With
I played a couple shows with those guys.
Yeah.
Back with The Light Divided and a couple of the other.
Shun the Raven.
Shun the Raven. Yep. Shun. And then, well, who's the Jared's new band? It'll come to me.
But that's next Friday.
Yeah.
50 Flies has one out in High Point next Friday at 1614. There's tons of them.
Strike's got a show coming up with Flaw.
Yep. Yeah, that's
Strike
it.
Tower's going to be on, which I saw that one. And I saw it was a cutthroat, and I was like, why didn't you call me, man? That would have been so cool. But I know why. It's because we can't, you know, we can't get enough people in here to make that worthwhile. But yeah, keep up with Creative Music Management on social media. Scars Remain, all the bands, you know, we're posting constantly upcoming shows, and be a part of the community. Come support us and come support Webb Street School on Saturday, May 25th for the second annual Rooster Olympics. Peace and love.